Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10x Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Altruistic Manipulator, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1. Benevolent Beginnings. The soft glow of chandeliers illuminated the grand ballroom, their light refracting off the crystal glasses and gilded decor. The hum of polite laughter and clinking glasses filled the air as New York's elite mingled, their expensive perfumes mingling in a heady mix. It was an event carefully orchestrated to exude exclusivity and class, a gala for the esteemed Ellis Foundation, hosted by the enigmatic Margot Ellis herself. Margot stood at the center of the room, effortlessly commanding attention. Her emerald green gown hugged her slender figure, a perfectly tailored symbol of elegance. She held a glass of champagne in one hand, her other hand resting lightly on the arm of a prominent senator, whose laughter punctuated her carefully chosen words. Margot's smile was disarming, her demeanor magnetic. To the crowd, she was a beacon of philanthropy, a woman who had risen above adversity to become a symbol of hope. To herself, she was something entirely different. Margot had spent years perfecting her craft, manipulation disguised as charm, lies cloaked in philanthropy. She was a woman who thrived on control, and this gala was her latest masterpiece. Every guest, every conversation, every subtle cue had been planned to perfection. This wasn't just a charity event. It was her stage, and she was the star. As the senator excused himself to greet another guest, Margot scanned the room, her gaze calculated and predatory. Her eyes landed on Ethan Hale, standing near the edge of the room, his posture slightly awkward among the crowd of polished socialites. He was younger than most of the attendees, his dark suit simple yet well-fitted. Margot recognized the glint of nervous determination in his eyes, the kind she had learned to exploit. Ethan Hale was no stranger to the world of finance. He had made a name for himself as a consultant with a knack for salvaging failing organizations, particularly nonprofits. His reputation for integrity preceded him, and it was precisely why Margot had invited him tonight. She had read his profile, studied his interviews, and even rehearsed the lines she would use to draw him in. Time to make her move. With the grace of a dancer, Margot glided across the room, her smile widening as she approached Ethan. His eyes flicked to hers, and she saw the momentary surprise before he composed himself. She extended her hand, her voice warm and inviting. "Ethan Hale, isn't it? I'm Margot Ellis. I've been eager to meet you." Ethan's surprise turned into a polite smile as he shook her hand. "The pleasure is mine, Ms. Ellis. Your work with the foundation is inspiring." Margot let out a soft, self-deprecating laugh. "Please call me Margot. And thank you, though I must admit, it's the team behind me that deserves the credit. I'm just the face." Her humility was rehearsed to perfection, designed to disarm and endear. Ethan's shoulders relaxed slightly, and Margot knew she had him exactly where she wanted him. "I've followed your work as well," she continued. "Your strategies have saved countless organizations. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how we could make the Ellis Foundation even more impactful." Ethan hesitated for a moment, clearly flattered. "I'd be happy to share some ideas, though I doubt you need my input. Your foundation is already doing incredible work." Margot tilted her head, her expression one of genuine interest. "Oh, but I do need your input. I've read about your approach, and it's refreshing. Maybe we could schedule a meeting. I'd love to pick your brain." Ethan nodded, his initial hesitation fading. "Course. I'd be honored." The conversation flowed easily after that, with Margot steering it expertly. She learned about Ethan's passions, his motivations, and most importantly, his vulnerabilities. By the end of the evening, he was visibly more comfortable in her presence, even eager to contribute to her foundation's mission. As the night wound down and the guests began to trickle out, Margot stood by the entrance, bidding them farewell with the same poise she had maintained throughout the evening. When Ethan approached to say goodnight, she slipped a business card into his hand. "Don't forget to call," she said, her smile warm but with a hint of something deeper, a connection she knew he couldn't resist. "I won't," Ethan promised, his sincerity palpable. Margot watched him leave, her smile fading as soon as he was out of sight. She felt a twinge of something, regret, guilt, but quickly buried it. There was no room for weakness in her world. Ethan was a pawn, and tonight she had made her first move. Turning back to the nearly empty ballroom, Margot allowed herself a moment of satisfaction. The game had begun, and she intended to win. Chapter 2, The Hook. Ethan Hale stared at his reflection in the elevator's mirrored walls, adjusting his tie for the third time. The plush carpet beneath his feet muffled the slight shuffle as he shifted his weight. He had spent the morning poring over financial reports and doing his due diligence on the Ellis Foundation. Despite its polished public image, something about the organization's sudden rise to prominence intrigued him, and he wanted to understand it fully before stepping into this meeting. When the elevator doors slid open, he was greeted by a sleek reception area with minimalist decor. The walls were adorned with framed photos of smiling children, clean water wells, and Margot Ellis cutting ribbons at various community events. The carefully curated gallery screamed authenticity, but to Ethan's trained eye, it was as much a branding exercise as it was a celebration of philanthropy. "Mr. Hale," a young receptionist smiled brightly. "Ms. Ellis is expecting you. Please follow me." Ethan nodded, clutching the folder of documents he'd brought as he followed her down a corridor lined with frosted glass doors. They stopped in front of one, and the receptionist knocked gently before opening it. Inside, Margot stood by a large window that offered a stunning view of the city skyline. She turned as they entered, her smile radiant and inviting. She wore a crisp white blouse tucked into tailored black trousers, exuding both professionalism and approachability. "Ethan," she greeted warmly, extending her hand. "I'm so glad you could make it." "Thank you for inviting me, Margot," he replied, shaking her hand. "Your office is impressive." She gestured toward the sleek conference table in the center of the room. "Please have a seat. Can I get you anything? Coffee? Tea?" "Just water, thank you." Margot nodded, signaling to the receptionist, who promptly left the room. As Ethan settled into his chair, Margot moved gracefully to her seat across from him, her demeanor calm yet focused. "I must say," she began, "I was thrilled when you agreed to meet. Your reputation precedes you. The way you turned around the Green Horizon Initiative, that was nothing short of brilliant." Ethan felt a flush of pride but kept his tone modest. "It was a team effort. I just helped them organize their resources more effectively." "And that's exactly what we need," Margot said, leaning forward slightly, her green eyes locking onto his. "The Ellis Foundation has grown faster than we anticipated, and with growth comes challenges. I'd love your perspective on how we can maximize our impact without compromising transparency or efficiency." Ethan nodded, appreciating her candidness. He opened his folder and slid a few documents across the table. "I did some preliminary research on your foundation. Your fundraising strategies are impressive, but I noticed a few areas where you could streamline your operations." Margot's lips curved into a smile, her expression one of genuine interest. "Do tell." Ethan began explaining his observations, pointing out redundancies in their administrative expenses and suggesting ways to better allocate funds to their projects. As he spoke, Margot listened intently, her chin resting on her hand. She occasionally asked insightful questions, demonstrating a keen understanding of the challenges he described. By the time he finished, Margot was beaming. "This is exactly the kind of perspective we need. You're not just analyzing the numbers. You're seeing the bigger picture. Ethan chuckled softly. That's the goal. Margot leaned back in her chair, her expression thoughtful. Ethan, have you ever considered joining a foundation full-time? With your expertise, you could make an even greater impact. Ethan hesitated, caught off guard by the suggestion. I've thought about it, but I enjoy consulting. It allows me to work with a variety of organizations. Margot nodded, her expression understanding. Course. But if you ever change your mind, you'd have a home here. For now, perhaps you could work with us on a project basis. Help us optimize our operations and ensure we're making the most of our resources. I'd be happy to, Ethan replied, feeling a surge of excitement. Working with the Ellis Foundation could be a great opportunity to expand his portfolio while making a real difference. Margot's smile deepened, a glimmer of satisfaction in her eyes. Wonderful. I'll have my assistant send over the details. And Ethan, thank you. It's rare to meet someone who's not only brilliant but also genuinely cares. Her words caught him off guard, and for a moment, he didn't know how to respond. He settled for a humble, thank you, Margot. As their meeting wrapped up, Margot walked him to the elevator, her hand brushing his arm lightly as they parted. I'm looking forward to working together, she said, her voice warm. So am I, Ethan replied, his smile genuine. When the elevator doors closed, Margot turned back toward her office, her smile fading into a pensive expression. She closed the door and moved to her desk, her fingers tracing the edge of a sleek pen. Ethan had been easy to hook. Almost too easy. But Margot knew the hardest part of manipulation wasn't reeling someone in. It was keeping them on the line without getting caught. She sat down and opened her laptop, her fingers flying over the keyboard as she began crafting the next phase of her plan. Ethan was smart, but Margot was smarter. She just had to stay one step ahead. As the city skyline bathed in the golden hues of sunset, Margot leaned back in her chair, her confidence growing. She had found her mark. Now it was time to execute the game. Chapter 3: Shadows in the Spotlight. The hum of Margot's office buzzed quietly as she stood by the window, watching the city below come alive in the glow of evening lights. She cradled a glass of wine, savoring the momentary peace. On her desk lay a folder containing detailed financial reports Ethan had sent earlier in the day. His insights were sharp, his recommendations precise. A goldmine for someone like her, who thrived on identifying and exploiting opportunities. Margot had already begun implementing subtle changes to the foundation's operations, under the guise of following Ethan's advice. Each adjustment was carefully calculated, allowing her to siphon funds into a shadow account without raising suspicion. Ethan, meticulous and honest to a fault, had no idea he was unwittingly helping her craft a flawless facade. But Margot's success came at a cost. The pressure of maintaining her double life was beginning to take its toll. Every move she made had to be perfect, every word calculated. And while she excelled at deception, the weight of her lies was a constant, gnawing presence. The intercom buzzed, jolting her from her thoughts. Camille's voice crackled through the speaker. Ms. Ellis, Mr. Hale is here to see you. Margot set her glass down, straightening her blouse. She couldn't afford any missteps now. Send him in. The door opened, and Ethan stepped inside, carrying a leather briefcase. He looked more confident than he had at the gala. His initial awkwardness replaced by a quiet determination. Ethan, Margot greeted warmly, walking toward him. It's good to see you. I wasn't expecting you this late. I hope I'm not intruding, he said, offering a polite smile. I wanted to go over some of the data from last week's fundraiser. I noticed a few trends that could help us maximize future events. Of course, Margot said, gesturing for him to sit. I appreciate your dedication. Most people would have waited until morning. Ethan chuckled. I'm not most people. Margot smiled, pouring him a glass of water before taking her seat across from him. That much is clear. As Ethan began laying out his findings, Margot listened intently, nodding at the right moments, asking questions that reinforced her image as a dedicated philanthropist. But beneath her composed exterior, Her mind was racing. Ethan's thoroughness was both a blessing and a curse. While it allowed her to refine her plans, it also meant she had to be constantly vigilant. One oversight, one slip, and he could unravel everything. Midway through their discussion, Ethan paused, his brow furrowing. "There's one thing I wanted to ask about," he said, hesitating. Margot's heart skipped a beat, but she maintained her calm demeanor. "Course. What is it?" Ethan tapped the edge of his notebook, as if choosing his words carefully. "I noticed a discrepancy in the expense report for the gala. It's minor, but the allocation for catering seems higher than it should be." Margot felt a flicker of unease but quickly smothered it. "Ah, yes. That was an oversight on my part," she said smoothly. "We had to make some last-minute changes to accommodate additional guests. I'll have Camille adjust the records to reflect that." Ethan nodded, seemingly satisfied with her explanation. "Makes sense. I just wanted to make sure everything was accounted for." "Thank you for catching that," Margot said, her smile warm but her mind racing. She made a mental note to ensure her records were airtight moving forward. As their meeting continued, Ethan's demeanor softened, his initial hesitation replaced by enthusiasm. By the time he left, Margot had successfully diverted his attention back to their shared goals, leaving him none the wiser about her true intentions. When the door closed behind him, Margot leaned back in her chair, exhaling slowly. Ethan's growing involvement in the foundation was a double-edged sword. He was invaluable to her plan, but his keen eye for detail made him a potential threat. Later that night, as Margot reviewed her progress, she received an anonymous email. The subject line sent a chill down her spine. "I know what you're doing." The message was short but haunting. "You're not as careful as you think. Keep your friends close, Ms. Ellis. Someone is watching." Margot's pulse quickened as she read the message again, her mind racing. Who could have sent it? Victor Reyes, the journalist she had encountered months ago. Someone within her team. She deleted the email but couldn't shake the unease it left behind. Paranoia crept in, making her question every glance, every interaction. For the first time, Margot felt the cracks in her armor, the weight of her lies pressing down on her. The city outside her window seemed darker now, its once inviting glow replaced by a shadowy menace. Margot clenched her fists, her jaw tightening. If someone wanted to play games, she would play. But she wouldn't lose. Not yet. Chapter 4. The Web Titans. Margot sat at her desk, her eyes scanning the anonymous email for the 20th time. She had committed every word to memory, dissecting its intent and searching for hidden clues. The sender's identity eluded her, a ghost in the digital ether. Despite her outward composure, a deep unease had taken root. The cracks in her meticulously built empire felt larger than ever, and for the first time, she began to wonder if she could truly keep it all together. The faint sound of footsteps echoed in the hallway, snapping her back to the present. Margot quickly minimized the email and adopted her usual composed demeanor just as Camille entered, her tablet in hand. "Ms. Ellis," Camille began, her tone brisk. "We've had 3 donor inquiries about the gala expense report discrepancies. They've asked for additional documentation." Margot's heart sank, but her expression remained impassive. "Forward the inquiries to the accounting department. Let them know it's being resolved." Camille hesitated. "Do you want me to prioritize these? It's unusual to get this many inquiries at once." Margot forced a reassuring smile. "It's nothing to worry about. The gala was a high-profile event. It's natural for donors to have questions. Just ensure the reports are polished before sending them out." Camille nodded, but her expression suggested she wasn't entirely convinced. As she left, Margot's smile faded, her mind racing. Questions from donors were unusual and dangerous. The web she had spun so carefully was beginning to tighten around her. That evening, Margot met Ethan at a small, upscale restaurant downtown. The venue was intimate, with soft lighting and a soothing ambience. Margot had chosen it deliberately, knowing it would set the perfect tone for their conversation. Ethan arrived promptly, his demeanor more relaxed than usual. "Thanks for inviting me," he said as he sat across from her. "This is a nice change from spreadsheets and reports." Margot smiled warmly, pouring charm into her tone. "You've been working so hard, Ethan. You deserve a break." As they ordered and settled into conversation, Margot steered the discussion toward lighter topics, carefully gauging Ethan's mood. He seemed at ease, even enthusiastic as he recounted a recent hiking trip. But as the meal progressed, Margot subtly shifted the conversation. "I've been thinking a lot about your suggestions," she said, resting her chin on her hand. "You've brought so much clarity to the foundation. I don't know how we managed before you." Ethan chuckled, clearly flattered. "I'm just doing my part. You've built something incredible, Margot." Margot leaned in slightly, her gaze softening. "I couldn't have done it without people like you. That's why I need your help with something important." Ethan's brows furrowed slightly. "What is it?" She hesitated just long enough to appear vulnerable, then sighed. "There have been some concerns raised by a few donors. Nothing serious, but they've asked for additional documentation about the gala. I was hoping you could help review the reports, make sure everything is airtight." Ethan's frown deepened, his concern evident. "Concerns? About what?" "Just minor discrepancies," Margot said, keeping her tone light. "You know how meticulous some donors can be. I want to make sure we address their concerns quickly and transparently." Ethan nodded, his expression thoughtful. "I can take a look. But if there's an issue, we should address it head-on." Margot's smile wavered for a fraction of a second before she caught herself. "Course. That's exactly what I want to do." The conversation shifted again, and Margot skillfully steered it back to lighter topics, ensuring Ethan left the dinner with a renewed sense of purpose. But as she watched him walk away, a knot of anxiety coiled in her chest. Ethan's integrity, while useful, was also dangerous. If he dug too deeply, he might uncover more than she could explain away. The next morning, Margot arrived at the office to find a sealed envelope waiting on her desk. It bore no return address, and the handwriting on the front was unfamiliar. Her pulse quickened as she opened it, her fingers trembling slightly. Inside was a single sheet of paper with a chilling message. "TikTok Margot. Your time is running out." Her stomach dropped. The email had been unsettling enough, but this felt personal. Someone was close, watching her every move. Margot shoved the note into a drawer and locked it, her mind racing. She had enemies, of course. Journalists like Victor Reyes, competitors in the nonprofit sector, but none who had ever gotten this close. She spent the day in a haze, her paranoia growing with every glance from a coworker, every seemingly innocuous conversation. When Ethan arrived that afternoon with the reviewed gala reports, she barely managed to maintain her composure. "These look solid," Ethan said, handing her the folder. "But I flagged a few items for follow-up. Just small things. Vendor contracts and expense receipts." Margot forced a smile, her voice steady despite the panic clawing at her. "Thank you, Ethan. I'll make sure Camille addresses those." As Ethan left, Margot flipped through the folder, her eyes scanning the flagged items. His thoroughness was both a blessing and a curse. She would need to stay ahead of him, carefully managing what he saw and didn't see. That evening, Margot sat alone in her apartment, the city lights casting long shadows on the walls. She poured herself a glass of wine, her mind replaying the day's events. The note, the donor inquiries, Ethan's questions. They were pieces of a puzzle she couldn't quite assemble. Her phone buzzed, and she glanced at the screen. It was an email from Victor Reyes. "We need to talk. I know what you've done." Margot stared at the screen, her heart pounding. The walls were closing in, and she was running out of time. She set the phone down and took a long sip of wine, her mind racing. She had always prided herself on being one step ahead. But now, for the first time, she felt the ground shifting beneath her feet. Margot Ellis had built her empire on manipulation and deception, But she was beginning to realize that even the most intricate webs could unravel. And when they did, the fall would be devastating. Chapter 5. The First Betrayal. The rhythmic tapping of Margot's manicured nails on her desk filled the otherwise silent room. The email from Victor Reyes, staring back at her from the glow of her laptop screen, felt like a bomb waiting to detonate. "We need to talk. I know what you've done." Victor had been a thorn in her side before, but this was different. The boldness of his claim rattled her. Was it a bluff, or did he truly have something incriminating? Margot leaned back in her chair, closing her eyes and taking a deep breath. She had outmaneuvered adversaries before, but Victor's persistence made him a dangerous opponent. Her phone buzzed, snapping her out of her thoughts. Ethan's name flashed on the screen. She hesitated, then answered, forcing cheerfulness into her voice. "Ethan, hi. What's going on?" "Margot," Ethan began, his tone serious. "I've been going over the flagged items from the gala reports, and there's something I need to discuss. Are you free to meet?" Margot's stomach tightened, but her voice remained steady. "Course. Can you stop by my office this afternoon?"
"Perfect.
I'll see you then," Ethan said before hanging up. Margot placed the phone on her desk, her mind racing. Ethan was thorough, too thorough. If he uncovered anything that raised real alarms, it could unravel everything she'd built. But she wasn't about to let that happen. By the time Ethan arrived, Margot had crafted a plan. She greeted him warmly, offering coffee and settling him into the chair across from her desk. "So, what's on your mind?" she asked, keeping her tone casual. Ethan opened his briefcase and pulled out a stack of papers. "I've been reviewing the vendor contracts from the gala, and a few things don't add up. For example, the catering invoice is significantly higher than it should be, even with the last-minute adjustments. And then there's this payment to a company called Haven Logistics. They're listed as an event planner, but I can't find any record of them being involved." Margot felt the air in the room shift, the weight of his words pressing down on her. She leaned forward, her expression a mix of concern and confusion. "That's strange," she said, feigning surprise. "Haven Logistics is a company we've worked with before, but I thought they handle transportation, not event planning. Let me check with Camille, it's probably just a clerical error." Ethan's eyes narrowed slightly. "Margot, I don't think this is a clerical error. The payment was substantial, and there's no supporting documentation. It's enough to raise red flags with our donors." Margot's pulse quickened, but she kept her demeanor calm. "I understand your concern, Ethan, and I appreciate your diligence. But I assure you there's an explanation. Let me dig into this and get back to you." Ethan didn't look convinced. "I think we should address this now before it becomes a bigger issue. Transparency is key, especially with the donors already asking questions." Margot felt her control slipping, and for the first time, a flicker of frustration crossed her face. She stood, moving to the window to buy herself a moment to think. When she turned back to Ethan, her expression was composed, but her tone carried a subtle edge. "Ethan, I value your input, but I also need you to trust me. The foundation has faced challenges before, and we've always come out stronger. Let me handle this, and I promise you'll have the answers you're looking for." Ethan hesitated, then nodded reluctantly.
"Okay.
But if there's something wrong, we need to address it sooner rather than later." Margot smiled, her charm returning.
"Agreed.
Thank you for bringing this to my attention." As Ethan gathered his things and left, Margot sank into her chair, her mind racing. He was digging too deep too fast. She needed to redirect his focus, and fast. That evening, Margot met Victor Reyes at a small coffee shop on the outskirts of the city. She had chosen the location carefully, ensuring it was far enough from her usual haunts to avoid suspicion. Victor was already there, his sharp eyes scanning the room. "Margot," he said as she approached, his tone laced with a mix of curiosity and smugness. "Victor," she replied, sliding into the seat across from him.
"I got your email. What do you want?"
Victor leaned forward, his voice low.
"I want the truth. The Ellis Foundation has discrepancies in its financials, and I know you're behind them. You've built an empire on lies, and it's time for the world to see you for who you really are. Margot's heart raced, but her expression remained cool. That's a bold accusation, Victor. Do you have proof? Victor smirked, pulling out a folder and placing it on the table. More than enough to start asking questions. And once the questions start, people will dig deeper. How long do you think you can keep this charade going? Margot leaned back, her eyes narrowing. What do you want? Victor's smirk widened. An exclusive story. You give me full access, interviews, documents, everything, and I won't release what I have yet. You'll get to control the narrative, but only if you cooperate. Margot considered her options, the weight of the moment pressing down on her. Victor was a problem she couldn't ignore, but she couldn't afford to give him the upper hand. You'll hear from me soon, she said, rising from her seat. Don't take too long, Victor called after her. Time isn't on your side. Back in her apartment, Margot poured herself a drink, her hands trembling. Between Ethan's suspicions and Victor's threats, the walls were closing in. For the first time, she felt the cracks in her facade deepening, the weight of her lies threatening to crush her. But Margot Ellis wasn't a quitter. She had built her empire from nothing, and she wasn't about to let it crumble. Not without a fight. Chapter 6. A Game of Masks. Margot's office was eerily quiet as she stared at the spreadsheets Ethan had flagged. The numbers didn't lie. Several transactions, including the one involving Haven Logistics, stood out like red beacons. Each entry tied back to her carefully concealed web of siphoned funds. For years, she had operated with meticulous precision, but now the noose was tightening. She leaned back in her chair, her mind working through the chaos. Ethan's suspicions, Victor's threats, and the anonymous warnings. It was all closing in faster than she had anticipated. She needed to regain control, and she needed to do it now. A soft knock on her door interrupted her thoughts. Camille entered, holding a stack of papers. These are the finalized donor reports, Camille said, placing them on Margot's desk. Her tone was calm, but Margot noticed a flicker of hesitation in her assistant's eyes. Thank you, Margot replied, keeping her voice steady. Camille, have you noticed anything unusual in the office recently? Emails, phone calls, anything out of the ordinary? Camille frowned. No, nothing that I can think of. Is everything okay? Margot forced a reassuring smile. Just being cautious. We've had some donor inquiries, and I want to make sure everything is in order. Camille nodded, but Margot could tell she wasn't entirely convinced. As her assistant left, Margot felt a pang of unease. Trust was a luxury she couldn't afford, not even with her closest allies. That evening, Margot sat in her dimly lit living room, sipping her second glass of wine. She had spent hours crafting a plan to redirect Ethan's focus and buy herself more time. Her phone buzzed, and she glanced at the screen. It was Ethan. She let the call ring twice before answering, her voice bright and welcoming. Ethan, how are you? I've been thinking about the gala discrepancies, Ethan said without preamble. I want to dig deeper into the vendor contracts. If there's an issue, we need to identify it quickly. Margot's grip tightened on her glass. I completely agree, she said smoothly. But I don't want you burning yourself out. You've been working nonstop, and I worry you're taking too much on. Ethan hesitated, clearly not expecting her concern. I'm fine, Margot. This is important. It is, she agreed, injecting warmth into her tone. But your health is important too. How about this? Let me handle the vendor contracts. You've already done so much, and I don't want to burden you with more. Ethan seemed to consider this, but there was a note of reluctance in his voice when he replied. If you're sure, just let me know if you need help. Of course, Margot said, her smile audible. Thank you, Ethan. I don't know what I'd do without you. As the call ended, Margot set her phone down, a faint smirk playing on her lips. She had successfully deflected him, for now. The next day, Margot received another email from Victor Reyes. This time, it contained a series of attachments, scans of documents that showed irregularities in the foundation's financials. His message was simple. "I've only scratched the surface. Care to explain?" Margot's blood ran cold as she opened the files. Victor had uncovered transactions that tied directly to her shadow accounts. He didn't have the full picture yet, but he was close enough to be dangerous. She quickly drafted a reply. "Victor, I'm willing to meet again to discuss this. Let's find a resolution that works for both of us." She hit send and leaned back, her mind racing. Victor was a threat she couldn't neutralize with charm alone. If he continued digging, he could destroy everything. Later that afternoon, Margot called a meeting with Camille and the foundation's legal advisor, Jacob Weston. As they gathered in her office, Margot exuded confidence, her mask firmly in place. "We've had some inquiries about the gala's finances," she began, her tone brisk. "I want to ensure we're fully transparent and compliant. Jacob, I need you to review all our vendor contracts and prepare a statement addressing the concerns." Jacob nodded, his expression serious. "Course. I'll get started immediately." "Camille," Margot continued, turning to her assistant, "I need you to organize a team to audit our records. I want to be proactive and get ahead of any potential issues." Camille hesitated, then nodded. "Understood." As the meeting ended, Margot felt a flicker of satisfaction. She had shifted the burden onto her team, creating a buffer between herself and the growing scrutiny. But she knew it wouldn't last. That evening, Margot met Victor in a dimly lit bar on the edge of the city. He was waiting for her at a corner table, his expression smug. "You came," he said as she slid into the seat across from him. "Of course," Margot replied, her voice cool. "I'm here to set the record straight." Victor smirked. "Is that so? Because from where I'm standing, the record is pretty damning." Margot leaned forward, her gaze piercing. "What do you want, Victor? An expose? Pulitzer? Or something more tangible?" Victor's smirk faltered, and Margot knew she had struck a nerve. "I want the truth," he said, his tone hardening. "The truth," Margot repeated, her voice low. "The truth is, you don't have the whole picture. You're working with fragments, and you're drawing the wrong conclusions. But I can help you find the real story, if you're willing to work with me." Victor studied her, his expression skeptical but intrigued. "I'm listening." Margot leaned back, a faint smile playing on her lips. "Good. Let's start with what you think you know." As the conversation unfolded, Margot skillfully fed Victor just enough information to keep him interested, weaving a narrative that painted her as a victim of internal sabotage rather than the mastermind. When she left the bar that night, she felt a renewed sense of control. Victor wasn't neutralized, but he was distracted, at least for now. But as Margot walked through the darkened streets, the weight of her lies pressed heavier than ever. The game she was playing was becoming increasingly dangerous, and one wrong move could bring it all crashing down. For the first time, Margot wondered if she was truly in control, or if the web she had spun was tightening around her instead. Chapter 7, The Spiral. The days following Margot's meeting with Victor were a whirlwind of activity. The foundation was abuzz with the sudden push for transparency, audits, and public reassurances to donors. On the surface, it appeared as though Margot was taking charge, steering the Ellis Foundation through a minor hiccup. But beneath the polished veneer, Margot's world was unraveling. She spent her nights hunched over her laptop, meticulously covering her tracks. Bank records were altered, emails deleted, and false leads planted to misdirect anyone who might stumble too close to the truth. Her once sophisticated system of manipulation now felt like a fragile house of cards, threatening to collapse with every passing moment. Ethan's discovery. Ethan Hale wasn't one to let go of loose ends. While Margot had temporarily deflected his attention, a nagging feeling in the back of his mind kept him digging. Late one night, he sat in his small apartment, surrounded by papers, vendor contracts, and financial statements. A pattern was emerging, subtle but undeniable. The payments to Haven Logistics weren't isolated. Ethan found other similar transactions buried in different accounts, all linked to obscure companies with no clear connections to the foundation's work. His heart sank as realization dawned. Margot Ellis wasn't the altruistic leader she claimed to be. Ethan's first instinct was denial. He had trusted her, admired her vision, even defended her when others questioned her decisions. But the evidence was irrefutable. He knew he had to confront her, but he also understood the risks. If Margot was as cunning as the evidence suggested, she wouldn't go down without a fight. The anonymous letter. The following morning, Margot arrived at her office to find a plain white envelope on her desk. Unlike the last note, this one wasn't typed. It was handwritten, the ink smudged in places as if written in haste. "You can't run forever. The truth always comes out." Margot crumpled the letter, her frustration boiling over. She had already dismissed most of her staff for the day, claiming she needed quiet to prepare for an upcoming donor meeting. Now, sitting in her empty office, she felt the walls closing in. Her phone buzzed. It was Ethan. For a moment, she considered letting it go to voicemail, but ignoring him would only raise suspicion. "Ethan," she said, her voice controlled. "What's going on?" "We need to talk," he said, his tone firm. "In person. It's important." Margot forced a smile, though he couldn't see it. "Course. When are you free?" "Now," he replied. "I'm downstairs." Margot's chest tightened. She glanced at the crumpled note on her desk before responding. "Come on up. The confrontation." Ethan entered the office with a determined expression, carrying a folder tucked under his arm. Margot greeted him warmly, but her smile faltered when he didn't return it. "Ethan, you look serious," she said, gesturing for him to sit. "What's on your mind?" He didn't sit. Instead, he placed the folder on her desk and opened it, revealing copies of the financial documents he had been investigating. "These," he said, pointing to the highlighted transactions, "don't add up, Margot. Payments to shell companies, inflated invoices, missing documentation. This isn't a clerical error. This is fraud." Margot's stomach dropped, but she maintained her composure. She let out a soft laugh, as though Ethan had just told a harmless joke. "Ethan, I think you're overreacting. These are minor discrepancies. Things we're already addressing." Ethan's expression hardened. "Don't insult my intelligence, Margot. I trusted you. I believed in your vision, but now I see it for what it is. A scam." Margot stood, her tone turning icy. "Careful, Ethan. Those are serious accusations." "They're not accusations," he shot back. "They're facts. I've already sent copies of this to the board. If you have an explanation, now's the time to give it." Panic surged through Margot, but she didn't let it show. Instead, she stepped around the desk, her demeanor shifting to one of vulnerability. "Ethan," she said softly, placing a hand on his arm. "You've known me for months. Do you really think I'm capable of something like this?" Ethan hesitated, his resolve faltering for a moment. Margot saw the flicker of doubt in his eyes and pressed harder. "I started this foundation to honor my parents," she continued, her voice trembling just enough to sound genuine. "Every decision I've made has been for the greater good. If there are issues with the finances, I'll fix them. But please, don't destroy everything we've built over a misunderstanding." Ethan stepped back, shaking his head. "Don't do this, Margot. Don't make this about loyalty or emotions. This is about the truth." The moment stretched in tense silence. Finally, Ethan sighed, his shoulders slumping. "I want to believe you," he said quietly. "But if I find out you've lied to me, I'll make sure the truth comes out." With that, he turned and left, leaving Margot alone in the office. The fallout. As the door closed behind him, Margot's calm facade shattered. She sank into her chair, her hands trembling. Ethan's confrontation had shaken her more than she cared to admit. He was too close to the truth, and his integrity made him unpredictable. Her phone buzzed again, this time a text from Victor Reyes. "TikTok, Margot. Time's almost up. Margot hurled the phone across the room, the sound of it shattering against the wall, echoing in the silence. For the first time, she felt truly trapped, the weight of her lies crushing down on her. She had built her life on manipulation, but now the game was spiraling out of her control. Every move she made seemed to tighten the web around her, pulling her closer to the inevitable reckoning. And as Margot sat in the darkness of her office, she realized one chilling truth. No matter how masterful the manipulator, no one could escape the consequences forever. Chapter 8. The Unraveling. The Ellis Foundation was buzzing with activity, but Margot felt like a ghost drifting through its halls. Every smile she offered, every meeting she led, and every word she spoke felt like a thread unraveling from the tapestry of her carefully constructed life. Ethan's confrontation had shaken her, but it was Victor's constant pressure that gnawed at her mind like an insidious worm. She sat at her desk, staring at the stack of donor reports Camille had compiled. The numbers were clean, polished, and thoroughly reviewed. On the surface, everything appeared to be in order. But Margot knew the truth. The illusion she had created was crumbling, and the clock was ticking down to the moment when it would all come crashing down. Victor's ultimatum. That afternoon, Margot met Victor Reyes again, this time in a nondescript diner on the outskirts of the city. She chose the location for its anonymity, but Victor seemed unbothered by discretion. He sat at a booth near the window, sipping coffee and tapping his fingers impatiently on the table. "Margot," he greeted as she slid into the seat across from him. "You're later than I expected." "I don't answer to you, Victor," she replied, her tone cold. "If you want to talk, let's get on with it." Victor smirked, leaning back in his seat. "You're bold for someone whose empire is about to collapse." Margot crossed her arms. "If you had anything solid, you wouldn't be sitting here. So what do you want, Victor?" He leaned forward, his smirk fading. "I want the exclusive story. No spin, no lies. Just the truth about how you've been funneling money from your so-called charity into your personal accounts. Give me that, and maybe I'll go easy on you." Margot's heart raced, but she forced herself to remain calm. "You want to paint me as a villain, Victor, but you don't understand the whole picture." "Then enlighten me," he said, his tone dripping with sarcasm. She leaned forward, her voice low and measured. "Do you know what it takes to run a foundation like this? To keep the money flowing, the donors happy, and the public convinced you're making a difference. It's not clean, Victor. It's messy, and sometimes you have to bend the rules to make it work." Victor's eyes narrowed. "So you're admitting it?" "I'm saying that nothing is as black and white as you think," Margot shot back. "You want to tear me down." "Fine. But what happens to the thousands of people who rely on this foundation when you do? Have you thought about that?" For a moment, Victor seemed to hesitate, but then his expression hardened. "Nice try, Margot. But you're not talking your way out of this. You've got until the end of the week to come clean, or I go public." He stood, leaving a few bills on the table, and walked out without another word. Margot sat there for a moment, her hands trembling under the table. The walls were closing in faster than she'd anticipated. Ethan's revelation. Back at the office, Ethan worked late into the night. His resolve to uncover the truth had grown stronger since his confrontation with Margot. The inconsistencies in the foundation's finances couldn't be ignored, and the more he dug, the more troubling connections he found. His heart sank as he uncovered a series of offshore accounts tied to the foundation, all leading back to Margot. Each transaction was meticulously disguised, but the pattern was unmistakable. He stared at the screen, the weight of his discovery pressing down on him. Ethan picked up his phone and dialed Camille. "Camille, it's Ethan," he said when she answered.
"I need to talk to you."
"It's about the foundation. What's going on?" Camille asked, her voice laced with concern. "Not over the phone," Ethan replied. "Can you meet me at the office in an hour?" "I'll be there," she said. Ethan hung up, his mind racing. He couldn't do this alone. If he was going to expose Margot, he needed allies, and Camille was the only person he trusted.
The breaking point. Margot paced her apartment, her mind spinning with plans and counterplans. Victor's deadline loomed large, and Ethan's growing suspicions were a ticking time bomb. She poured herself a glass of wine, but the liquid did little to calm her nerves. Her phone buzzed with a message from Camille. Ethan asked to meet. He says it's urgent. Should I be worried? Margot's breath caught. Ethan and Camille were talking. Panic surged through her, but she forced herself to think. If Ethan had involved Camille, it meant he was close to exposing her. She couldn't let that happen. Quickly, she composed a reply. Stay calm. Let me handle it. Margot grabbed her coat and headed out. She wasn't sure what she was going to do, but she knew one thing. She couldn't let Ethan derail her plans. A dangerous confrontation. When Margot arrived at the office, the building was dark except for the glow of a single office window. She made her way upstairs, her heels clicking against the tile floor. She found Ethan and Camille in the conference room, their expressions grim as they pored over documents spread across the table. Working late, Margot said, her voice cutting through the silence. Ethan and Camille looked up, surprise and guilt flashing across their faces. Margot, Ethan began, standing. We need to talk. I'm sure you do, Margot replied, stepping into the room. But before you start throwing accusations around, maybe you should hear my side of the story. Ethan crossed his arms. We've seen the accounts, Margot. The offshore transfers, the shell companies. It's all here. Camille looked at Margot. Her expression a mixture of confusion and betrayal. Is it true? Did you really do this? Margot felt the weight of their gazes, but she refused to crumble. Instead, she straightened her shoulders and took a step closer. Everything I've done, she said, her voice steady, has been for the foundation, for the people we help. Do you think it's easy to keep this operation running? The red tape, the politics, the constant demands for results. It's impossible to play by the rules and still make an impact. Ethan shook his head. That's not an excuse, Margot. You've betrayed everyone who trusted you. And what are you going to do about it? Margot shot back, her tone sharp. Destroy the foundation. Ruin the lives of the people who rely on us. Go ahead, Ethan. Be the hero. The room fell into tense silence, the air heavy with unspoken words. Finally, Ethan spoke. I'm not trying to destroy the foundation, he said quietly. But I can't let this continue. The truth will come out, Margot, whether you like it or not. As Ethan's words hung in the air, Margot realized the inevitable. Her empire was crumbling, and there was nothing she could do to stop it. For the first time, she felt the crushing weight of defeat. Chapter 9, The Reckoning. Margot Ellis stood in the middle of her lavish office, surrounded by everything she had built. The polished wood desk, the awards lining the shelves, the meticulously curated photographs of smiling children and impoverished communities. It all felt hollow now, a crumbling monument to the lies she had spun. She stared at the large windows overlooking the city skyline, the weight of her crumbling empire pressing down on her. Ethan's words echoed in her mind. The truth will come out, whether you like it or not. The boardroom showdown. The following morning, Margot was summoned to an emergency meeting of the Ellis Foundation Board of Directors. The tone of the email had been ominous, and when she entered the conference room, the cold stares from the board members confirmed her worst fears. Ethan sat at the far end of the table, flanked by Camille and Jacob Weston, the foundation's legal advisor. A projector was set up, and the room was heavy with tension. Margot, the board chair, Dr. Alan Pierce, began, his voice stern. We've been reviewing some troubling information brought to our attention by Mr. Hale. Margot forced a polite smile, her hands clasped in front of her. Troubling information. I'm not sure I understand. Dr. Pierce gestured to Ethan, who stood and cleared his throat. Over the past few weeks, I've been investigating discrepancies in the foundation's financials. What I found is deeply concerning. The projector clicked to life, displaying spreadsheets, transaction records, and emails. Ethan began presenting his findings, walking the board through the labyrinth of shell companies, offshore accounts, and misallocated funds. As he spoke, Margot felt her pulse quicken. The evidence was damning. Far more detailed than she had anticipated. She clenched her fists under the table, fighting to maintain her composure. When Ethan finished, the room fell into silence. All eyes turned to Margot. "Margot," Dr. Pierce said, his tone heavy with disappointment, "do you have anything to say in your defense?" She stood slowly, her mind racing for an escape route. "I won't deny there have been mistakes," she began, her voice steady. "But I want to make one thing clear. Every decision I made was for the good of this foundation. The pressures of running an organization like this are immense, and sometimes unconventional measures are necessary to achieve our goals." The room remained silent, her words hanging in the air like a weak defense. Ethan broke the silence. "Unconventional measures. Margot, you stole millions from the very people you claimed to help. That's not leadership, that's fraud." Margot shot him a glare. "You don't understand what it takes to build something like this, Ethan. You've been here for a few months. I've spent years fighting to make this foundation what it is today." "That doesn't excuse your actions," Camille interjected, her voice trembling with emotion. "We trusted you, Margot. I trusted you." Margot turned to her, a flicker of desperation in her eyes. "Camille, everything I did was to keep this foundation alive. You've seen the impact we've made, the lives we've changed." Camille shook her head. "And now all of that is at risk because of you." Dr. Pierce cleared his throat, his expression grave. "Margot, we've reviewed the evidence thoroughly. The board has no choice but to remove you as CEO, effective immediately. Furthermore, we'll be cooperating fully with the authorities in their investigation." Margot's heart sank. "You can't do this," she said, her voice rising. "Without me, this foundation will collapse." "That's a risk we'll have to take," Dr. Pierce replied. A fall. By the time Margot left the boardroom, the media had already caught wind of the scandal. Reporters swarmed her as she exited the building, cameras flashing and questions flying. "Ms. Ellis, is it true you embezzled millions from the Ellis Foundation? Do you have any comment on the accusations against you? Are you planning to cooperate with the investigation?" Margot said nothing, her head held high as she pushed through the crowd. But inside she felt hollow. The empire she had built, the reputation she had cultivated, it was all gone. Ethan's resolve. That evening, Ethan sat in his modest apartment, staring out the window. The events of the day played over in his mind. Margot's fall from grace had been swift and brutal, but it left him with a bittersweet sense of victory. He had admired her once, believed in her vision. And even now, he couldn't help but wonder how much of the good the foundation had done was genuine. But he knew one thing for certain: the truth mattered. Margot's new reality. A week later, Margot sat in a sparse interrogation room, the cold metal of the chair biting into her skin. Across from her, a federal investigator flipped through a thick file of evidence. "Ms. Ellis," the investigator said, his voice devoid of sympathy, "you've been charged with multiple counts of fraud, money laundering, and embezzlement. Do you have anything to say?" Margot leaned back, her once proud demeanor replaced by a weary resignation. "I built something incredible," she said quietly. "And I paid the price for it." The investigator didn't respond, simply jotting down notes as Margot stared at the table. The aftermath. Months later, the Ellis Foundation struggled to recover from the scandal. Donor trust had plummeted, and its future remained uncertain. Ethan stayed on, working tirelessly to rebuild its credibility, though the shadow of Margot's actions lingered. As for Margot, she became a cautionary tale, a once revered philanthropist undone by her own greed. Her name was stripped from the foundation's branding, her awards revoked, and her legacy tarnished. In the quiet of her prison cell, Margot Ellis reflected on the choices that had led her here. She had spent her life mastering the art of manipulation, but in the end, it was her own web of lies that had ensnared her. For the first time in years, Margot felt truly powerless. And as the cell door clanged shut, She realized she had no one left to manipulate but herself.